another even so much the more as you see the day approaching. And what that tells me, church, is that the Lord, I think, as time went on, intends for us to gather together and strengthen each other and encourage each other more as time goes on, not less. And so I'm glad that we have a time in the middle of the week. And then also I'm thankful for, because I know many of you have busy schedules throughout the week, and sometimes it's a challenge to get here on Wednesday nights. And in fact, like I said, Brother Kevin wasn't able to be here. And you know Brother Kevin's always here. He's faithful. And he just got stuck at work today. And I know those kind of things happen. And many of you work full-time jobs, and you've got things going on during the week. And so I always appreciate your desire to be here on Wednesday night. If you got your Bibles, I would ask you, if you would, turn to the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we're going to start reading in verses 17. And we'll read a few verses down, maybe down to verse 28 for now. And then in just a moment after we pray, just by way of introduction, I'm going to read out of Philippians chapter 2. And I had not sent that ahead to Brother Dane as of yet, but that's going to be more of a way of introduction. And we can just follow along, or you're welcome to follow along if you want to put a marker in Philippians chapter 2 as well. But for right now, for our text that the Lord has directed for us for the evening, is going to be in Acts chapter 20. And starting in verse 17, the Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And then when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." Notice this phrase here in verse 19. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Now that's the central theme that we want to focus on, Lord willing, tonight. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, and repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25, "And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more, whereof I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful, God, again, for allowing us to be here on a Wednesday night. And Lord, we know that there's a not able to be here with us due to work, due to sickness, due to, Lord, they're out of town. Lord, whatever the case may be. And Lord, we certainly do miss them tonight. But we are glad tonight for those able to be here, those able to tune in via live stream. And Lord, we just pray that you would clear our thoughts and our minds and help us to be open and ready to receive your word tonight. We do ask for your help. We do ask for your wisdom. I pray that you'd help that Christian who needs encouragement tonight, or be with that one tonight that has never come to a saving knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul here is speaking, and if you notice, as we read in verse 17, the Bible says that he called the elders of the church. And so here we see that really this message that he spoke to was more of the leaders of the church. And I'm really going to focus now he said a lot here, but we're really going to focus on that thought, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. With that thought in mind, church, I'm going to flip over to Philippians chapter 2. And I just want to read a few verses here to help lay the groundwork for the message tonight. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, verse 2, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now notice this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took on the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Did you notice that phrase where he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Serving the Lord comes with a mindset and an attitude concerning serving God. In fact, anything that you do, I've heard it said, if you think that you can or you think that you can't, then it's true. Essentially saying if you believe that you can do something, you will do it, or you're more likely to succeed in doing it. If you believe that you can't, then most likely you won't succeed in doing that. Now, with being that being said, two chapters over in Philippians chapter 4:13, I appreciate where the Apostle Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So what I want to submit to you first tonight, church, is that if you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to have a servant's mindset. In fact, that's what he taught in Philippians chapter 2. This is the same story. Paul was speaking here to the elders, and then in Philippians he said, let this mind. He is speaking about a mindset. He is speaking about a way of thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ had. And the example that he gave about the Lord Jesus Christ was that Christ served with humility. Amen? Christ served with humility. You know, sometimes I think that this idea of service or being a servant is beneath us. You know, serving sometimes is actually going out of our way and helping people, serving people, doing what we can to help and encourage, even knowing that maybe we're ones that need help and encouragement too. You see, it's really putting yourself aside and thinking about someone else first. In fact, in that same chapter, he said, let each esteem other better than themselves. One of the greatest things that I've come and found out serving the Lord is that even when you're faced with your own difficulties, friend, the one thing that'll help you and encourage you is when you start to focus on helping others and serving others, and you put yourself aside for just a moment. And you know what I've come to find out? Every time that you do that, God is faithful, and God will always send the right person at the right time, or the right door is going to open to come back and help to meet your needs. I heard it said a long time ago, to have real joy, you put Jesus first, others second, and yourself comes last on that list. And you serve the Lord, by the way. You say, well, Pastor, I want to serve the Lord. I want to honor God with my life. Well, let me remind you that you serve the Lord by serving others. So as we come back to our text, again, keep in mind that if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have the mindset of serving the Lord. You know, somebody, one of the things that we do, I wish that I had more time to do, but if we try to go early in the morning, it's to knock out some running, knock out a few miles. And one of the things that I remember both of my running coaches emphasized that, hey, don't compare yourself to other runners because it's just not wise. You're not them and they're not you. And don't think, well, because I don't go as fast as them or I don't go as far as them that you're not a runner. You're a runner once you make the decision. Are you with me? Once you make the decision that you're going to run. And so you just get out there and you do your best effort. Don't worry about what they're doing or how far they're gone or how fast they run. Let me just encourage you just here a little bit, Christian friend. Don't worry about how fast somebody else is running the race. Don't worry about how far somebody else has already gone. Or don't worry about how much Bible knowledge that somebody else may have. And if God has blessed them to learn and to grow, then praise God for that. But don't worry about what they're doing. You run the race that God has called you to do. You go as God moves you, and you follow the Holy Spirit of God. And friend, then you are running your race, and you serve the Lord because God has called you to serve. Some may say, well, how long do I have to be serving before I'm considered a servant of God? Friend, you can make that decision tonight. Just like tomorrow, if you decided you want to be a runner and you started off doing 1 mile, I will be the first one to applaud you and say, hey, congratulations. It doesn't make a difference to me whether you had to jog half of it and walk half of it. I'm going to call you a runner because you made the decision and you have the mindset to be a runner. Amen. Friend, tonight, if you leave tonight and you never thought yourself as being a servant of God, you can make that decision tonight. And I want to be the first one to applaud you for making that decision to be a servant of God. There's nobody here that has to say, well, Pastor, I've been serving the Lord for so many years and I can be considered a servant of God. Friend, our desire is to encourage you to step into the grace and serve God tonight. So it's a mindset. And I want you to notice this mindset that the Apostle Paul had. He emphasized that mindset in Philippians chapter 2. But if you notice our text, he says, first of all, in verse number 19, concerning serving the Lord. But he doesn't just say serving the Lord. He's saying serving the Lord with all humility of mind. So obviously he mentions really three things there. He's talking about serving. He's talking about humility. And he's talking about a mind perspective again. Here, there's three things there that we see. So first of all, when we call that or look at that idea of serving, it emphasizes serving the Lord. Now, I truly believe with all my heart, friend, if you are serving the Lord, you will be serving people. If you are serving the Lord, you will be serving your family. Husbands, when you're serving God, you'll serve your wife as God wants you to do that. Ladies, if you're serving the Lord, you'll serve your husbands as God wants you to do that. Children, if you're serving the Lord, in fact, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You obey your parents because God has commanded you to do that. And do you see the beauty of it? When you serve the Lord and you're obeying your parents, now you're serving God and your parents. You see how that works? But it must start with the idea, number one tonight, of serving the Lord. We have to get in our mindset, and this is a very common misconception. When we do a work for God, when we do something in the church, and it makes no difference if it's the person who vacuums the floors or the person who sweeps the kitchen or the person who works the food bank ministry or works in the Christian school or does the music or does the song leading, or does prayer time, doesn't make a difference, friend. Let me remind you that you are not serving me. You're not serving any person in particular in that regard. Now, you may serve them on a personal level, but with your service that you do here, all those things, even if we come by and say, hey, friend, would you mind to help with this? Friend, let me remind you and keep it in proper perspective that you're serving the Lord. The work that we do here around the church, hey, it's for the glory of God. Amen? It's not for my personal gain or somebody else's personal gain. We are serving the Lord. And see, here's where the difference can come in. If you get in your mindset, and it's easy to fall into, that you're serving the pastor or serving another individual, if we don't keep God in His proper place, here's what's going to happen. I'm not going to always encourage you like I should. I may not always say thank you for the work that you did like I should. I may not always come by and compliment you for doing such a good job for the work that you did around here. And see, the difference is that if we have in our mind that, well, Pastor didn't even show appreciation for what I did. And if that bothers you or nobody recognized what I did, Pastor didn't say a word, nobody said a word about it. If that kind of bothers you, friend, then you might consider the fact or even ask yourself the question, am I serving the pastor? Am I serving another person? Or am I serving the Lord? Because when we serve the Lord, listen real close, it honestly doesn't make a difference whether we get thanked or not. It doesn't make a difference whether somebody compliments our work or not. And what will happen is that if we depend on that, the time's going to come where I will disappoint you, friend, because I am a man. I do my best to encourage every single one of you. I do my best to say thank you for everything that you do. But I'm still a man. I'm going to miss some things. I'm going to forget some things. I will disappoint you if I haven't already done that. Just give me some time. I will probably disappoint you very soon. But you see, if our mindset is on serving the Lord, oh, you know, it makes no difference, really, whether somebody says thank you or not. Because now what we're doing is that we have grown to the place where we say, hey, you know, the Bible teaches me that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So God sees what I do. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God sees that I'm sowing good seed, and God will reward that. God is the one that I'm going to stand before one day, and Lord willing, him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There it is again. Thou good and faithful servant. Friend, at the end of life, you're not going to stand in judgment of me. I'm not going to be the one that is worthy enough or even knowledgeable enough to say, oh, you lived a good life or you didn't. I'm not God. But you will stand before a holy God one day, and God will be the one who determines whether he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So you see, friend, though compliments and appreciation, it's very encouraging. We cannot live on that. We cannot depend on that. But if we have the mentality that we are serving the Lord, it really changes our perspective. The other thing that I've come to find out that helps change our perspective when we really keep serving the Lord first and foremost in our mind. Oftentimes, things will happen. And for the record, everybody here has been offended. And I would go as far to say probably everybody here has offended somebody else too. I know I have. Okay? I've been on both sides of it. I've been offended before, and I've done a lot of offending. If I was to be honest with you, I've probably done more offending than being offended myself. But you see, when I do get offended, when people don't show that appreciation, it doesn't make me want to quit. It doesn't make me want to stop. I'm still going to continue to go to church. Hey, even when I wasn't preaching full time, do you realize that our family, even still, we never miss a service without it being a sickness, whether without us being out of town or some other kind of situation going on, we still came to church. You know why, friend? Because we realized we were serving God and we still had a duty to the Lord to come and to worship Him and come to be faithful in His house, still gave like we normally did because we wanted to keep the proper perspective that we're serving the Lord. We're serving the Lord. And friend, if we change our mindset to remind us that, hey, we are doing this for the glory of God. I'm not doing this for a pat on the back. We're doing this for the glory of God. I'm not doing this for recognition. We're doing this for the glory of God. I'm not doing this for somebody to come by and say, thank you, good job. Because friend, that's where the devil loves. He loves to take situations like that. And he comes right over here just like this, Obed. See, they don't like you. That church don't appreciate you, Obed. Have you ever heard things like that whispered in your ear? It happens all the time. Listen real close, church. If the devil can discourage you, he can defeat you, which means ultimately he can destroy you. And it happens all the time. And do you realize that more Christians stop going to church because they get offended, they get discouraged, they don't feel appreciated more than anything else? I mean, we're children of God. We already know. You're here tonight because you know you want to honor God. I don't have to convince you of that. But too many folks end up offended and discouraged, and then the devil defeats them, and then he destroys them. Now we haven't seen them in church for years. They've gone far away from the Lord. I'm not angry with them. I'm just telling you that's what happens. So, friend, number one tonight, it's important to keep the proper mindset that we are serving the Lord. The second thing I want you to notice here in our text that we have been looking at, now, first of all, we see service to the Lord. Second of all, there is service to the saints. Now, we already established the fact that we serve the Lord by serving others. Notice what he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. You know those two words that he described in that verse, friend? He said tears and temptations. You ever wonder what he's talking about? You know, when I think about those tears, I'm confident. I'm confident that he suffered a lot of heartache. In fact, there was a time in Paul's life, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord, no one was stood with me except the Lord. Basically, he said that there was a time where nobody was standing with him except for God. Everybody left him. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He withstood our words. You know, the difference, Demas, I guess he just quit. I guess he got wrapped up in the world. We don't exactly know, but what we do know is he mentioned being caught up in the world. But then Alexander the coppersmith, he caused even more heartache by being the one by causing opposition to what Paul was preaching. He said he greatly withstood our words. That's in opposition to what he is saying. The Apostle Paul, no doubt, suffered many tears by being abandoned, by being shipwrecked, bitten by snakes. I mean, you think of it, he happened. There was times where he didn't have food. There was times he didn't have a place to sleep. There was times that he did without. All these kind of things. Hey, friend, I'm very confident that the Apostle Paul suffered a lot of tears, which would be symbolic of a lot of heartache that we suffer. But his mindset was, I'm serving the Lord. I'm just going to keep on serving anyway. And then he says, temptations. Let me say something to you, and this may come as breaking news. All right, y'all can call Fox if you want. Fox News. I don't have much time for the rest of them, and I just about don't have time for them. But that's a whole another story for another day. All right? Breaking news. Sometimes pastors and preachers want to quit too. He said tears and temptations. What do you think some of those temptations were? Probably just the temptation to quit. Paul, why are you doing this? Nobody cares. Paul, why are you doing this? Paul, why are you doing this? Every time you try to preach the truth, somebody gets mad at you. That temptation happens, friend. It's real. Served as senior pastor for 7 years, assistant pastor for 5 years. It's real. It happens. In fact, a lot of times, Monday morning, believe it or not, if you look at statistics, that's the day that most of the time pastors want to quit, on Monday morning. I don't have time to explain all the reasons. Father, I have a good theory behind it. But what I'm saying is that Paul got to the place that didn't matter what tears he suffered, it didn't matter what temptations he experienced, he was going to continue to serve the Lord. He was going to continue to serve the Lord. So first of all, there's the serving of the Lord. And then second of all, there's the serving of the saints. Serving of the saints, or serving of the people, if you prefer. As we read on here, notice that he says in verse number 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. You know what that tells me when I read that statement, church? That he served the people of God with everything that he had. When he says, I kept back nothing, that means I held nothing back. I gave it all that I had. Everything that I got to hit, all my resources, everything that God has given me, all my emotion, all my heart, all my mind, I put it all in serving people. And friend, that is a life-changing statement. When you say, you know what, no matter what happens, I'm determined, first of all, to serve the Lord, and I'm going to continue to serve the Lord by serving His people, by reaching out to people, by sharing the gospel with people, by taking my part. Now, let me also explain something, too, since we're talking about the mindset. Part of what happens in a church, and let me illustrate it when you think about a team effort. A football team, for example, has players of different position, right? They all have their unique role and responsibility. In particular, in football, they have 11 players on the field at one time, 11 for the offense, 11 for the defense, and they each have a particular role. Now, each one does not have the same role. That would be uniformity, right? Every player can't be the quarterback, right? Somebody's got to catch the ball. Somebody's got to run in. Somebody's got to protect the quarterback, right? They all have different roles and responsibilities. But you see, the thing that makes them a team is that they're moving forward for the same cause. You see, what's going to make a church move forward and serve each other better and serve people better is that when we get to the place and we say, you know what, I don't have to be the quarterback. I don't have to be the wide receiver. I don't have to be the song leader. I don't have to be this. But we're going to unify as a church, not because we play the same position, but because we're working for the same cause. And that same cause is the cause of Christ. Hey, friend, we're on the same side. We're in this together. And God has called you to do different things than He's called me to do. Amen? God, you have different talents and abilities that I do. Some of you have musical abilities that I don't have. Some of you have singing abilities that I don't have. Some of you have abilities of mercy and grace. Some of you have abilities of the gift of generosity. You have different gifts that God has blessed you with and different talents that God has given you. You probably have more better organizational strength. I feel like I'm running around with like a chicken with my head cut off all the time for the schedule that we run. God has blessed you with things that He has not blessed me with. And God has called you into whatever position or service area that He's called you to do, but not necessarily me. We don't all do the same thing, but we should all be pulling for the same cause. So we are called a church. We're not called a team, and that's what a church does. Let me remind you, the Bible says in Psalms 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, to dwell together, in unity. In Philippians 1:27, it says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's that unified mindset for the cause of Christ. And once we have that unified mindset, friend, I'm telling you, a church that is on fire for God, has a heart of humility, has the mindset to serve people, it's going to be difficult for the devil to try to stop that church because we are unified for the cause of Christ. And when the devil often wants to cause problems and divisions, he does it within the church. But if that church is unified, understand and say, hey, we're in this for Jesus. We might do different things. We come from different backgrounds. We have different testimonies. But we're all in this together for Jesus. Hey, for now you're talking about a church that can turn the community upside down. You're talking about a church that can make an impact right here in this community when we have that kind of mindset. So first of all, we see the Apostle Paul. First of all, his mindset was his service to the Lord. Second of all, service to people. He held nothing back. He gave it all that he had. And before I move on, friend, when's the last time that you can honestly say that you've given, not necessarily given monetarily, but you've given all that you have to serve people? When's the last time you can say that? The third thing I want you to notice is, of course, the people. Then he says here, kept back nothing, in verse 20, kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So there's service to the church or the ministry is the third thing. So basically we're talking about service to the Lord, number one, service to people or the saints of God, and then thirdly, service to the ministry or community is what I really prefer to say that. Did you notice that he said, have taught you publicly and from house to house? That is two aspects of the ministry. Where we're at right now, friend, essentially this pulpit and this platform is the public aspect of the ministry. But you know where the difference often comes in as Christians? You may not serve in this capacity right here, but then there's that house to house. That's a reminder that that's a personal ministry. Because, see, sometimes what people need is not just an encouragement from you. Say, friend, I'm so glad to see you in church. I've missed you. I heard that you had a hard week. Is there anything that I can do to help you? Sometimes folks need that. But, you know, sometimes folks just need an old-fashioned knock on the door. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. I'm here to be an encouragement to you. Can we pray together? How can I help? I heard that you've been going through a hard time. You know, sometimes serving people publicly and then from house to house means that you get a little bit more personal. You find out that a brother has a need. And you think, my goodness, he has that need. And boy, I have plenty to spare. Maybe the Lord is directing me to go and try to help that friend, to try to help that brother. Because you see, friend, let me remind you of something very, very important. Serving the Lord requires sacrifice. You see, when young people and our staff in particular go to camp, not everything is how they would want it to be. They don't have air conditioning in the cabins. Now, thankfully, it's up at higher elevation, so it's a little cooler. But they don't have all the nice amenities at home. They barely get a signal. There's no television. Forget about that. Probably not a bad thing, by the way. But what you are doing, however you want to classify it as, is you are taking yourself out of your comfort zone and putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation. And by that I mean you don't have all the nice comforts and luxuries that we normally have at home. And you set aside a week to say, Lord, what can you do in my heart, in my life? What can you help me to do in these young people's lives? See, that's a sacrifice. I commend the staff. And by the way, when they get back, go by and say thank you for willing to invest a week in our kids. I think they'd appreciate it. Now, they didn't ask me to say that, by the way. None of them did. None of them said, Pastor, would you make sure that everybody knows how? No, I don't. Not one of them has told me how bad. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's a sacrifice. I'm saying that when you see a brother in need, you might have to make a sacrifice to help that brother or sister in Christ or your neighbor or whatever the situation may be. But there are two aspects of the ministry. So when we talk about serving the ministry or serving the community, it's publicly and from house to house. That house to house is more of a personal type of service. The last thing I want to mention tonight, church, is he mentioned service, or we've talked about service to the Lord, service to the people of God, service to the church or ministry. And then, believe it or not, service to himself. Now, that's last on purpose, but let me explain what I mean. Notice in verse number 21, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. Bound in the Spirit. Remember that thought. Unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 24. But none of these things move me. He mentioned afflictions and bonds in the previous verse, but he said in verse 24, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You see, church, when he said, I go bound in the Spirit, you will do yourself a great service if you decide today that everything I do, I'm going to go bound in the Spirit. In other words, the Apostle Paul had decided to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When you go and you're willing to be sensitive to the Spirit, sensitive to the Lord's leadership, sensitive to what God wants out of your life, you wake up every day and you say, Lord, I don't have it. I have an old flesh. I wake up grumpy and cranky sometimes. Sometimes I wake up and just I'm mean-natured and mean-spirited. But Lord, I want to surrender this to you. I want you to fill my cup. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What you are actually doing is yourself a good service. Because if you're saying, God, fill me up with the Spirit, like the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It literally says, filled with the Spirit. You're doing yourself a great service, thus allowing you to serve everybody else better. Say, so how am I doing myself a great service? Well, if you wake up and you tell God to take control of your tongue, you might not say something to somebody that you shouldn't say that day. And you wake up and you say, Lord, I'm giving it all to you. You might not look at something that you shouldn't look at that day. You might not listen to something that you shouldn't listen to that day. And let me just say this. What you see and what you hear does affect you. If the Bible says, by faith come in hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, it's literally saying your faith is increased by hearing the Word of God. If the Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart, what you see literally affects your heart. What you hear literally affects your faith. So what you see and what you hear does influence you. Now somebody say, well, preacher, I've been this way for years. I'm not going to be influenced. Friend, you continue to listen to garbage, and eventually garbage is going to come into your mind, and it's going to come out of your mouth. The Bible says, but with the heart, man speaketh. or out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. So if we listen to it, it filters down into our minds and our hearts, and that's eventually what comes out. But you're doing yourself a great service. If you say, Lord, I'm going to surrender it all to you. I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So that way, Lord, you guard my tongue. Lord, you guard my eyes. Lord, you guard my feet. Don't let them take me somewhere where they ought not be. Heard a message by Lester Roloff. Of course, he's gone home to be with the Lord now. This has been several years. This message was preached years ago. But essentially, it was called Dr. Law and Dr. Grace, and I don't have time to explain the whole message, but I do want to share one main point that he had. The statement that he made was, it's always a heart issue. Sometimes people would come to him and say, Preacher, sometimes I look at things that I shouldn't see. Maybe I look at things on the internet that I shouldn't see. Maybe I look at things on television that I shouldn't see. Would you pray that I control my eyes? And he would always try to counsel, Friend, it's not a problem with your eyes. Sometimes they would say, Pastor, I go to places I know I shouldn't be going. And my hands get into things I know they shouldn't be getting into and touching things I know they shouldn't be touching. Pastor, my ears are listening to things they shouldn't be listening to. And he would always say, Friend, it's not a sight issue. It's not an ear issue. It's not a foot issue. It's a heart issue. You see, friend, this is where it all starts. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If your heart's in the right place, you don't have to worry about your eyes. If your heart's in the right place, you don't have to worry about your tongue. If your heart's in the right place, you don't have to worry about what you listen to. If your heart's in the right place, you don't have to worry about where you go. See, friend, it's a heart issue. So we started off by talking about our mentality and our mindset that we have to have, but we're bringing it back around by allowing ourselves to be filled with the Spirit. What are we talking about that needs to be filled with the Spirit? Our hearts need to be filled with the Spirit. So it is a mindset, but it is a heart issue as well. So if we bring all this back around, church, if you really want to serve the Lord, first of all, you got to have the mentality, and by the mindset, by making a decision, you have to make a conscious decision. That's where the mindset comes in. You make a conscious decision, I want to serve the Lord. And then you do a great service to yourself and everybody else by saying, I want to be found in the Spirit. Now, there was so much more that he said. For the sake of time, we probably won't be able to get into it all. But basically, again, he talks about some of the things that were personal to him. He said, none of these things move me. I believe that's another mindset that he had. In other words, I know there's afflictions. I know there's problems coming when I go to Jerusalem, but yet that's where God has told me to go, so I'm going to go anyway. And when he said, none of these things move me, he wasn't talking about a physical location, because he was actually moving to Jerusalem. He was talking about a spiritual location. In other words, I'm not going to let this stop me or scare me away from doing what God has called me to do, because he had the mindset, this is not going to stop me. The other thing that he said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. In other words, serving God was more important than his own life. In fact, by that statement and what we just read, I believe that Paul was saying that if it costs my life to serve God, then so be it. I count not myself dear. Serving God is more important than my own life. Amen? And then he goes on to say, so that I might finish my course with joy. Finish my course with joy. I believe that's what God would have out of each and every one of us here tonight, friend. And there's a great danger of growing complacent, even for people who've been in church all their lives. There's a great danger of growing complacent. Sunday morning we talked a little bit about bitterness. There's a danger of growing bitter. There's a danger of just going through the motions. Hey, friend, let's have a desire to finish the course that God has called us to do, to serve people with joy. Hey, friend, happiness is often circumstantial, but I believe that joy is a decision. In other words, I'm going to be joyous serving the Lord. Even I may not have to be happy with everything, but I do have joy in serving the Lord. By the way, doesn't the Bible say the joy of the Lord is your strength? Let's all stand on our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's get in our mindset, friends. Let's get in our mind and our hearts this idea of serving the Lord. I know we don't have a pianist tonight, but we'll just take a moment. If you need to come down and pray and do business with the Lord, we do want to give you that opportunity to do that. Whatever your need is, friend, would you come tonight and give it over to the Lord? Whatever God's speaking to your heart, maybe you'll make the decision and the choice tonight to have a servant's mindset and be filled with the Spirit. Whatever God is doing, however God is leading, I just ask you to be obedient to the Lord. Just mind the Lord tonight. However God's speaking, some folks have already come down to pray. You're certainly invited to come and pray. However the Lord leads, you're welcome to do that. Maybe something else is on your heart tonight, friend. I don't know. But Lord, maybe you'll give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving this up. Maybe you've had a battle. Maybe you've had a challenge. Maybe you've got something else on your mind. Give that over to the Lord, friend. How about you, friend? God's speaking to your heart. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. I'm going to sing a verse if you'd like to sing with us. 153 in your songbooks if you'd like to sing while folks are still praying. I Surrender All. Probably a good song to close the service with tonight. I invite you to sing. I need your help, by the way. Page 153. Let's sing a verse. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. Savior, I surrender all. Amen. What a good thought to take home with us. I surrender all. Thank you, church, so much for being here. Let's have a word of prayer. And Kyler, do you want to dismiss us in a word of prayer? Come on up here, brother. And after Kyler's prayed, we are dismissed.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that anybody that has not found You, that You guide them towards You. I pray that anybody who needs help with anything, whether it be medical, whether it be travel, anything at all, just help and guide them to get there safely, get through it safely. I pray that anybody that needs You, that You help out. I pray that You help the people that need You the most. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.